Good morning. No, I think we can do better. And in fact, we will do better. Good morning. Well, that might be as good as we're going to get. A warm welcome. We now sort of move into a more of a discussion. I have to say, I'm very impressed. It bodes well for the government of the UAE and the government of the region. Normally, events tend to work on their own time schedule. I am pleased to say this morning has worked just about perfectly on time. We have three distinguished speakers. Oh, please, not yet. There'll be plenty of time for applause later. Good morning. It's going to be hard work. We have three distinguished guests this morning who are going to talk about the question of smart cities. We have next to me here, Mayor of Barcelona, Xavier Trias. Good morning, Mr. Mayor. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you. We have Deputy Mayor for Information and Technology of Seoul in South Korea. We have Deputy Mayor Geun-seok Kim. Good morning, Deputy Mayor.
Good morning.
And we have the Chief of Staff and Deputy Mayor for Policy and Planning in London. We have Sir Edward Lister. Good morning, Sir Edward.
Good morning.
Now, gentlemen, we need to get to grips because the subject of this morning's panel and discussion is smart cities. And what actually is a smart city? Before we do justice to that issue, I'm going to invite each of you to talk for maybe 5 to 7 minutes. Now, this is my panel. I'm sorry, Your Highnesses, but this is my panel. And if they start going on too long, you'll see my pen come out. That's usually a good sign. If my pen comes out and I start to tap it, that's not a good sign. If I start to cough, that's a very bad sign. So, 5 to 7 minutes, starting on what you mean by a smart city. Mr. Mayor, we'll begin with you. Will you be speaking in English or in Spanish? So people.
I began to speak in English, but after that was in Spanish.
Excellent. So we'll be in English for this part, but you might need your translation for the question and answer in Spanish.
Perhaps you understand my English, but I speak very well.
You speak better English than I do Spanish, so I assure you, sir. Off you go. 5 to 7 minutes.
Well, I would like to thank the government summit organizers for your kind invitation. It's impressive how Dubai has been able to achieve worldwide status, diversify its economy, and invest in innovation. I am the mayor of Barcelona. Barcelona is the capital of Catalonia, a Mediterranean country with its own language, culture, history. I am also the president of the metropolitan area, 3.5 million people. Barcelona is one economic capital of the south of Europe and the Mediterranean. Barcelona had a strong industrial tradition during 19th and 20th centuries. By the 1992 Olympics, Barcelona transformed completely its architecture and public spaces, opened the city to the sea, and promoting international recognition. As a result, Barcelona has become a very touristic city, 7.5 million tourists and 2.6 million cruise passengers. With the economical crisis in Europe, and especially in the South Europe, we are facing a period of great economic instability that has produced high employment and social inequities. We are also living important demographic challenges due to the recent migration from 6 to 7.5 million people living in Barcelona. This change is produced in only 10 years. Another important demographic challenge is the increase in life expectancy, 86 years in women. Therefore, it has very important to adopt political measures to face all these challenges in different levels. So what are we doing? First of all, we had to promote confidence of international level and improve our economic solvency. We have nowadays a solid financial situation with zero deficit budget, which allows us to pay our suppliers within 30 days and to make productive investments of near 500 million euros. We have also increased the budget devoted to social and people's care nearly 30%, promoting social cohesion, improving the general well-being and quality of life of the population. We have also adopted measures to support companies and to reinforce our status as a business-friendly city. With this aim, we have created the platform Barcelona Grow to help local international entrepreneurs to develop their business projects in Barcelona. It is very important for us to attract new foreign investments and new economic activity to the city. We have a strong diversified economy with competitive traditional sectors such as retail, manufacturing, advanced service, and tourism. We have also a leading logistic platform in the Mediterranean with an expanding port, an airport, a hub for Asian and Middle East flights to South America, and high-speed train link with Paris. Barcelona wants to be known not only for tourism and sport. We want to be known as a city of culture, knowledge, creativity, innovation, and well-being. Barcelona is in this moment a very important place for meetings, incentive conferences, and exhibitions. That is very important. We have the most important congress in the world now in these days, the Mobile World Congress and the Smart City Expo. In this sense, we are encouraging the development of new knowledge-based economic sectors like mobile technology, electric vehicles, biomedicine, and food processing. We have to put this technological innovation at the service of the people and its quality of life. Another way, it doesn't run. Barcelona is the mobile world capital and one of the leading smart cities in the world, developing innovative technological solutions to improve urban services, such as public transport, street lighting, waste and water management, and social and health care. We have now smart city projects in Barcelona linked to new bus network, smart city lighting, electric vehicle, healthcare, helping the treatment of chronic disease, telecare, telematics home care, sensors, geolocalization for elderly affected Alzheimer, projects of urban regeneration, including smart city solutions like parking, waste management sensors, smart lighting, Wi-Fi, new smart cities in platform to engage local individuals in the development and implementation of smart city projects. We are particularly interested in the promotion, and that is very important for us, of new social economy, what we call the third sector, that is non-profit sector. Social entrepreneurship means to improve the delivery of public and social services. That thing is very important. They give jobs, and for us it's very important. In order to develop these new urban and social services, we have created the City Protocol Society to define quality standards and to share the best projects to develop a new economy of urban innovation. This is an alliance between cities, companies, universities, and research centers from around all the world, working together and building an ecosystem so as everybody can benefit and learn from one to another. I think it's very important. The future of the world, I think, future for to make new economy are in the cities. And the cities have to go together, and I think it's very important they go together, cities, universities, and to be able to do the things together, all together. I think that is the situation we have in Barcelona. Barcelona, I told you, we have industrial city. We want to continue to be industrial. We want to have commerce. We have, want to have tourism. We have to. We want to have the new technologies for us are very important. For the brand Barcelona, we utilize many things, the culture, and we utilize also for our brand a very important thing, sport, with Olympic Games, but also with the soccer team, El Barça. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Much there that we will talk about, you know, and thank you for keeping to time. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Deputy Mayor from Seoul in South Korea, your expertise today for us is information, it is technology,
yes.
It is the use of big data.
Sure.
So please tell our guests what you will be reminding us of today.
Yes, I'm CIO of Seoul Cities, and I'm in charge of the planning information services and the infrastructure of ICT. So today, I'd like to emphasize the use of the data when we are talking about the smart city. The smart the world looks very simple, but it's not easy to define what smart is. And the city also, the word is short, but actually the actual city is rather big enough, so it's not easy to define just one or two sentences what smart city is. So we better narrow down. I emphasize today the communication. So I think the communication is one of the most important feature of the smart city. So usually we think the communication occurs only between human beings, between citizens. Yes, I think that was true. That was right before internet. But with the internet, we can communicate with non-human beings. They're just like the car, the Google car, the outside, we can communicate the other bridges, the buildings, and even when we can communicate with the nature, with climate or something. So we should consider the communication not only between the human beings, but also communication between the non-human beings. So
tell me about the experience in South Korea, in Seoul, that you had with the buses.
Buses, you mean, yeah.
The okay. Late night buses.
Late night buses, okay. So actually, last year I joined to the Seoul city. Before that, I ran my own business. That company is very specialized in big data. And after joining Seoul cities, I was thinking how the big data can help the city to solve the problem. So one day, one student suggested one session to the Mr. Mayor directly via Twitter. Why don't we have late night bus? So as you know, Seoul has the more 10 million population, and we like to enjoy the nightlife, of course the night work, but there is no public transport between 1 a.m. to 5 in the morning. The only way to get back to home is the taxi. So we think it's quite natural to introduce bus system. But after deciding introducing late night bus system, we are facing new problem. What route would be suitable for late night bus? We think the route of late night bus would be different that of the daytime. Daytime bus is focused on for the commuter,
right,
from house to the office and back to the home. So what data could be helpful to solve that problem? And we focus on some data of the telecommunications. So we, with the help of Korea Telecom, we get the data of who are making call or text at late night.
You basically took the information from the telephone.
Yes.
And you worked out who was calling and texting in the middle of the night and yes. which cells were being used.
Yes, the people who are far from their home. How do we know they are far from their home? Fortunately, the telecom has the billing address.
Hold that thought.
Okay.
Hold that thought, because I want to bring Sir Edward in to hear from him to start with, because you're using telecom data, and I'm going to suggest there are privacy issues, which we will discuss in a moment. Okay. Sir Edward, start off with yourselves, please. What for you is a smart city?
That's an interesting question. And I mean, I would define a smart city as being a city which is providing the services it needs to make the quality of life as good as possible, to give economic regeneration, to generally make the city a place people want to live in and want to stay in. And that's the starting point. And then how do you reach that? And therefore, it's about building smart city ideas into everything that we do. We had a very successful Olympic Games, as did Barcelona. And we learned from that a lot. We learned about doing things differently. We completely regenerated a part of our city. We changed the way the transport network ran. We moved our one metro line that fed the Olympic Games so that it operated a train every 2 minutes. We generally changed the way we did things. We brought in volunteers, we changed security, we did a lot of things differently.
But what distinguishes that? Because we're going to hear this phrase smart city again and again and again. What distinguishes smart city from mere common sense?
I think what we've never done before is build these things in as government, as a system. And I think that's the difference. Before, you can talk about common sense, but all of us know that common sense and government don't always go together. It doesn't work like that. You have to sit down and think it through. What do you really want to get out of this? Now, for us, with a growing population, our population's rising, it's nearly 8.6 million, we'll go to 9 million within a matter of 4 to 5 years. So we are actually growing London at the same rate. We're adding our second biggest city, Birmingham, to London every decade. That kind of growth makes you stop and think about your buildings. It makes you stop and think how they join together. What is in those buildings? How do those buildings work? What sort of community is being created around those cities? And that is the thinking that needs to go in. And that's what Smart City is about. And it's about using technology to make that work. And we can use, as I'm sure other people are doing, our planning system to make the developers, to make the operators plan their cities accordingly so they become greener, smarter, more automated. But above all, they are providing a lot of information. If you move into transport, all of our transport system is now entirely done with electronic cards to buy your fare. We are actually, at the moment, going through an industrial dispute because we are closing every single ticket office. You will no longer be able to buy a ticket to go on the underground. You will buy it from a machine. You will not buy it from a person. And
why is that progress?
Because of the progress in a lot of ways. Firstly, it is more efficient, it is faster, it is because none of us are using cash in the way we used to use it. We are using electronic cards to make payments. It is also more efficient because we know what everybody's travel plans are. And from that, you can adjust and plan your travel network. You can adjust and plan how you're doing things. I move on. We are using bicycles now all over the city. That will move on to electrical bicycles fairly soon. We are using car sharing schemes, so people don't need to own their own car. They can share a car. And you go on like this. But to do that, you must build that in to your planning, build that into your buildings. So, for example, if you are come to the city now and say, I want to build an office block or a block of apartments, we will limit the number of car parking places you can have. In some central London office blocks, we will no longer provide any space for the staff to attend those offices. You can use car share schemes, which are there. You can use bicycles, which we'll make you put in. We'll make you do all those things, but we are changing the way the city works. And that is what's smart about it. Because if we don't do that, we are not going to be able to survive as a city.
Right. You've each had your opening few moments. We'll come back to you in a minute, Mr. Deputy Mayor. Mr. Mayor.
Sí, voy a hablar en castellano ahora. Nosotros tenemos una situación que yo creo que es muy importante, que hemos de estar convencidos todos, una gran revolución desde el punto de vista de las nuevas tecnologías.
If we talk about new technologies, this is a big revolution that we have to apply to people. Hay que aplicar, we have to apply that a la gente.
Pero al mismo tiempo,
y es muy importante, but at the same time, it's very important that la política, bueno,
in the deputy mayor take care of urbanism, housing, at the same time sustainability and new technologies all together, because another way the things are not going well.
But this is one of the great challenges you have in Barcelona.
Yes.
You're dealing with these issues at times of great recession.
Yes.
High unemployment.
Yes, but it's not impossible, no? Nosotros tenemos unas tasas de desempleo muy altas.
Due to one thing, in the last 15 years, half a million people came to work in Catalonia. From 6 million, we went to 7.5 million people that came to the construction industry. The only way of coming out of this problem is to progress, to go ahead. And one of the things that we do, that we really emphasize new technologies. They generate new jobs. Another thing that I was telling, we have to be able to understand that the social expenditure is not only social, but it also leads to create new jobs.
For infrastructure. If you haven't got the money for infrastructure and for smart technologies, what do you do then? How do you continue to spend at times of difficulty?
Bueno, pues esto es muy claro.
Well, this is very clear. I am mayor for 2 years now. My first decision is to have money to invest, and then we can be able to encourage people to invest in Barcelona. This is something I'm doing every day, and to be able to have very clear in our minds, in your minds, that a brand like Barcelona that always supports new technologies is a very good economic sector to invest in. Many, many people want to do what Barcelona is doing now, or what is London doing now. And this puts us in a situation, in a good situation. That's why I say that the future, it depends a lot on the cities. People want to do what we are doing in the cities. As long as cities have very clear that this has to benefit the people. When we hear, we talk about buses. If this is done in order to organize, to save money for the administration, that will not be the benefit. What is important is that these new technologies, new systems, are a benefit for the people.
Right. Mr. Deputy Mayor, in South Korea, in Seoul, you have used smart technology with taxis. You've used it with buses.
Yep.
What are the issues of privacy?
Privacy.
I mean, I don't want you knowing where I've been making telephone calls at 4 o'clock in the morning.
But you don't worry about it. We all deliberated personal information. We just want to know how many people are in certain areas.
You're asking us to trust you. You're asking us to trust government that you're not going to keep that information. It's a big thing to ask in this day and age.
Yes.
Is Mr. Snowden listening? You'd agree though, Sir Edward. I mean, this is because you're doing the same thing. You're doing exactly the same thing with your Spectre, your Oyster card.
Yes, we are. And I think the difference is we're doing it in a way, we're gathering that data, that it is not individuals that you're looking at. You are looking at the whole system when you look at this data. We're not interested in an individual. We don't even care who the individuals are. We are just looking at the totality of it. But can I make the point that when we get this data, we don't keep it to ourselves. We publish all this data. You can access it if you want. The data is out there. And there are now, since we have put the data out, just in transport alone, there are 450 different apps you can get in London and use to interrogate different parts of that data. We don't do any of that ourselves. The commercial companies do it. Industry does it. We just provide the basis for it.
And that's the same for yourself, isn't it, in Seoul? You're making this data available to others so that the private sector can use some of it.
Not really. Till now, not really, yes.
Is that something you would look at?
And so our task is we already have some idea which area is populated late night, but we don't have ideas the people are going to where. So as many of you have already know, the Gangnam area is very popular at late night, but sure that we have to make the bus start from the Gangnam area, or at least pass through the Gangnam area, but which direction?
Let me.
We have no ideas.
Let me come in. I mean, when we're talking about data, we are, for us, we see it as important to use that data to give it to others. We are not, as government, very good at dealing with that data. But if we put it out there, we find plenty of companies that will devise ways of dealing with it. We don't just gather data. There is some data that we don't put out. For example, we actually know every car that goes into London. We actually monitor every car that goes into London.
This is through the congestion charge.
Through the congestion charge. Now, we wouldn't put that information out. But what we will do is we will put out the number of cars that are going down a particular road. And that's the difference.
Yo creo que esto se ve muy claro cuando hablamos de temas sanitarios, ¿no?
About health issues. To use new technologies to give answers for chronic diseases like diabetes, it is very important. But what shouldn't happen is the administration utilizes this data for its own benefit. This data cannot be used for personal issues. They can be used only for the benefit of the people, not for only one person. If it doesn't work like that, this will be a failure. We have to be very clear that we don't use personal information for personal purposes. If this data is used for an administration to benefit for it, that will be a mistake. We can use this data when, for example, we want to offer a service, a health service, some transport service. But if we use this information only for certain kind of people, the system will not work.
How do you take the concept, Mayor, of the smart city? Where do you see the limits of what you can do to create a smart city.
No sabemos los límites.
We don't know the limits. I think we are in front of facing an extraordinary revolution. And every day we have new applications, more diversified applications to service people. But I think that we have this basic principle. We don't have to use personal data in order to control people.
But decision making, government in a smart city, is that different? And how is that different?
No, I don't think so. For example, like in London or like in Seoul, we can get this information and decide, for example, that transport is very important at this moment on time. So we create a system, let's say a bus system, that will be different than the one we had before in Barcelona. For example, we had a network that will allow us to offer a better service to people. We can make changes, fundamental changes, in the way we deal with people, customer service, with a population that is getting older by day. And as a result, we have more mental diseases, so we can offer answers to these people.
When we say smart cities, are we talking about those scenarios, those situations where technology can be used? Or are we talking about something greater than devices and technologies and sensors? Are we talking about a decision-making smartness?
I would argue we are the second. We are talking about a decision-making process. That's really what this is about.
I'll let you finish that, but I just want to jump on this. Is the danger that the debate on smart cities becomes about widgets and not decision making?
I think that's fair. I think that is a danger. But let me just go back to the beginning of this point that I was wanting to make. Cities are changing dramatically at the moment. Just for example, I don't know, the way we shop. Up until now, we have gone into a shop and bought something. In London, that is disappearing fast. People are buying on the internet. Shops are showrooms. You go and look, you go home, you then decide where to buy it. You buy it on the internet, and then you have it delivered. Well, all of a sudden, we're now worried about lots of warehouses to do the delivery. The shops are changing. We have too many shops. We need to reduce the number of shops down. We need to change our town centres, because the number of shops cannot survive. Now, you need data for all this. This is really about decision making. How do you make those very fundamental city decisions when all this is happening very, very fast? It's not being planned by anybody. It's happening out there. The person in the street is changing the way they work, and they're doing it. And we as a city have got to make sure we are reacting to that properly. So that's what smart cities are about. But it's also about the quality. And I want to just stress this point about quality.
I wanted to come to quality separately, if I may. Because we've done big data, just to give you an idea of where we're going. We've done big data, but I want to talk about this decision-making aspect of it. Because everything I read on big data, and just to your point, sir, talks about technology.
We'd better distinguish the privacy and the data. And so who are now in this hall? That means the private data. But how many people are now in this hall? That means I think that's the data. So we have to distinguish privacy and data. So.
Right. What do you think we mean by a smart city?
Smart city.
And what is the extent that which you can use this data to? So, how far can big data take us? Transport, mobility, healthcare. What else? Yes, sir. You, Mr. Mayor, you wanted.
So actually, I'm the kind of technical guy. So I'm the pro of using the data to make a city smart. So.
Sir.
Yo como creo que estamos delante una auténtica revolución. ¿Qué es lo que nosotros estamos intentando y ayudando desde Barcelona? Esto que yo llamo City Protocol. Que es buscar un conjunto de ciudades, más universidades, más compañías y que seamos capaces de ponernos de acuerdo y que no cada uno haga su experiencia, sino que sumemos experiencias y nos demos cuenta de hasta dónde puede llegar esta gran transformación, ¿no? Cada día nos saldrán nuevas incógnitas, cada día saldrán nuevas aplicaciones.
There will be new applications. It has no sense that cities, universities, and companies don't work together and realize and agree in what direction we should go. Because I agree with what you said. Be careful when you utilize data in the wrong way. Be careful with the way you do things. As I said, we have to do this for the benefit of the citizens. We have to generate trust. This is about generating trust, confidence.
Excuse to do anything. When you've got this data, the data that you love, the data you want, and the data that you use, but what's its limits?
Sí, sí, yo le pongo un ejemplo.
An example. To know that a person has diabetes and to give them the system to control his illness, this is extraordinary. If you don't use the data properly, and you use the data, for example, to brand people with an infectious disease, this is a disaster. So this is where we can define what is useful and what is not useful, what will be used in a positive way and what won't, because things can be very, very similar. If we don't create good mechanisms that can guarantee privacy, we will enter in a disaster.
You're using data for lighting, you're using smart sensors, you're using it in all sorts of. Let's talk about this question of livability, quality of life. Cedric, you wanted to talk about and how quality of life. Explain what you mean by this, because every local government official or every government official talks about quality of life.
Okay.
What do you mean?
What I'm talking about is trying to make sure that we provide to the citizens the services that they actually want. Now, for example, and let me use a couple of examples.
Please.
Smart technology means, for example, we don't need to have train drivers on our trains. You can automate them completely. But what people want is somebody walking up and down the carriages, providing information, providing security. So we can take the cost that would otherwise be incurred by providing labor to do one thing and put it into another area, which is what people want, because the data has told us that's what they want. The technology has told us we can do it. And I can go on like that. If you look at some of the schemes that I think all three of us had to have on, for example, bicycle hire schemes, you couldn't do schemes like that unless you had a technology, you had a data system out there, which enabled you to build these systems, to put them in, to enable people to pay for them easily. It's that kind of thing
right,
which makes
I
the city
livable. I
want to
talk about bicycle schemes. For those who are not familiar with the bicycle schemes, you have a fob or a credit card, you shove it in, you can take a bicycle. In most places, I suppose it's the same in Barcelona, it's free for the first half an hour. But these are schemes are very much designed for people to use the bicycle and return it, not for day tourists to
correct.
Use it, correct? You want people just to use it from A to B.
No, para turistas no. Está montado para el transporte.
No, they are not for tourists. They are established for the transport for citizens. In the case of Barcelona, these bicycles are not used for tourists. They are for the citizens. This is some of the result. This is in the case in this city where this is happens in a city where the bicycle was never used, but now this has become a very normal transport system. People goes on bus, metro, but now after that they complement the transportation with a bicycle. This is one of the biggest success in a city.
Here in the UAE, you might have a few problems with bicycle schemes in the summer. I think that might be a little bit challenging to get somebody riding a bicycle. But you were quite surprised, and I know New York has been surprised, at the number of bicycles, Sir Edward, that get used in the winter.
Hay una revolución que es la bicicleta.
Yeah, there is a revolution, which is electrical bicycle. Electrical bicycle, yes.
Electrical bicycle.
Este es un cambio muy importante.
You are assisted by electricity, and that is a very, very important change. I think it's the future. In a city as Barcelona, we have mountains. It's very, very, very important to have electrical bicycles. We are beginning now that, and I think there's a very big transformation.
Would you look at electrical bicycles in London?
We are looking at electrical bicycles, but can I just go back a little bit on this? Why did we want to have bicycles in the first place? And that's an important question. It wasn't just about transport. It is also because we are spending, as a city, £4 billion on obesity. We need people to do a lot more exercise than they're doing. So it was a very powerful argument for exercise. It was a very powerful argument for transport, just to get around the city and to ease pressure at other places. And it was about quality of life. People enjoyed it. They liked it. It also became, it started for a work purpose, but became a tourist purpose. But yes, the next stage is electrical bicycles, and maybe electrical bicycles would work here in the summer months. But in winter, we get as many people taking our bicycles when it's pouring with rain as it does when it's sunny. I'm sorry, people do use them on a very regular basis.
Were you surprised at the uptake?
Yes, I'm very surprised. I think we were all surprised how popular it all became and how quickly it became popular. And it was also not age specific, which is an important point. We thought at first it would be largely used by younger people. That's not the way it works. It's used by all ages. Absolutely all ages use it.
Can you see, okay, Mr. Deputy Mayor and Mr. Mayor, can you see a situation, because I'm a member of a bike scheme in both London and New York. Can you see a day where you marry up systems so that my fob that works in London will work in New York, the system that works in Barcelona will work in London? Or is that a step too far that would involve costs that you wouldn't be interested in?
No, I can see that day, because we are all carrying a piece of unique identification in our wallets anyway. And that unique identification is our credit card or our debit card. And that credit card tells you that somebody is who they are. That's your identifier. What else happens behind that can happen in the cloud, or it can happen somewhere else. That is your identification disk, and we need to make more use of that.
El éxito de las bicicletas en Barcelona ha generado
Barcelona
un nuevo problema.
Has generated a new
¿Cómo
problem?
Utilizamos
how do
la ciudad
we use
y cómo
city?
Las bicicletas conviven con la gente que va a pie y pasea a pie.
Live with people
exige,
who
pues,
walk.
Todo un de
so this takes this acts. This acts for a total change in the city. So we talk about creating there's a 30-kilometer zone. It's creating a new complex system, because this has been a big success that in the end we have been overcame for this. So I think the general electrical bicycle is going to be a big success, and this is going to be overwhelming for us, because if you see this as a public transport, when we talk about the underground, the buses, the bicycle, and to make all this complementary, I think that this will be the future of the city, or cities like Barcelona.
Final thought. What are the limits? Because the people here would like to hear your guidance, your advice, your suggestions. What are the limits of the smart city? And please don't tell me there are none. When does smart cities come up against democracy of decision making? When does quality of life cease to be relevant or more relevant in the availability of the smart city? Sir Edward, I want to start with you. What do you think is the limit of the smart city concept, if there is one?
Yeah, I don't know if there is. I think we're on a journey. It's a very new concept, the smart city. We're all talking about this as though we've been doing it for a long time. We haven't. It's been a very slow process. It started relatively recently. We have started to automate and started to understand what happens when you automate systems, what happens as you get all this data coming back, because it's only recently we've got this data in a way that we can use it usefully. So I think it's too early to say. What I am convinced about, I think it can fundamentally change the way we plan a city. I think it will do that, and I think it'll fundamentally change the way we provide our services. So we will provide things in a very different way in the future, and we're on that journey.
Explain what you mean about how we plan our cities, because particularly in this part of the world, where planning of cities is crucial with the rate of growth and the extent of planning that is now underway. Explain what you mean.
Well, what I'm trying to talk about is how do you actually plan the growth of the city? What happens within the buildings? How do you get around? I mean, here in the UAE, they're doing a lot of work in Masdar on things like this. For example, cars. We cannot go on with the number of cars that we've got, certainly in an old city like London. And I think even in a modern city, there is a limit to the whole thing. So now we make people go into car share schemes. We are that, and that is a data-driven, that's a technology-driven service. So you put a car out and you just get on your mobile phone, you book it, you go and collect it, you drive off, do what you've got to do, and you put it back and somebody else takes it. That might sound very simple. It's very complicated to learn. But if you don't do that, you are going to have to build more and more roads. How are you going to afford to do that? Where are you going to put
them? But that's a classic partnership between the public and the private sector, which I have to admit in London has worked rather well. It used to be that those car sharings, the zip cars, the street cars, were in private garages. You've now made space on the roads with parking bays.
Yeah, but it goes beyond that. We're now deliberately constructing our parking controls so that they have an advantage, so that they're more likely to get a parking space than other people are going to get a parking space. You will get permission to build spaces for them when you wouldn't get other things. So you've got to actually weight the whole planning, the city planning system, in their favour.
Yes, Mr. Ackerman.
Yes, I don't think the smart city always use the high-tech or the high-tech data. And I think we'd better focus on how to use it wisely. I already said the late night bus, we has only 9 routes, so it covers only just a little area of Seoul cities, but there is no complaint at all. That means everybody knows the route was designed by not human beings. Not public servant, but based on the data.
And so, was the data accurate? Was it correct? Did you get the right 9 routes?
Yes. And you mean?
You chose the right places.
Sure, yes. It's every day 6,000 people are using, and right. The Seoul citizens chose it's the best police of the last year, so.
Yo les voy a poner un ejemplo distinto, ¿no?
I'm going to talk a different example. In Barcelona, there is not much rain in Barcelona. When it rains very hard. And we have recovered some of the beach area. We have taken, when it rains, all the rubbish, all the goes to the sea. That's a disaster. What we have made, we have created 2 big deposits that take the water. They allow for the for this waste to go on the bottom of the deposits, and then this water goes away. So as a result, the sea is in a better condition, beaches are in a nice condition. This is a spectacular change for people to live well. And there are these kind of things that can be simple, that it's just about to think them. And the way to see them, to think about them, is to apply new technologies to the service of the people, to the service of a city management. Sometimes we don't think about floodings, but we have to think about them.
Look at Europe at the moment. Europe at the moment is underwater.
Yeah.
Well. Finally, Mr. Mayor, I'm going to ask each of you to please, if you like, invite the people here to come and visit your city and to experience your experience of smart city, Mr. Mayor. Start with you.
I think that is very important. This is a very, something very serious that we do. We want you to come to Barcelona. You will see how things work in Barcelona. We are not the only ones who want to do that. We want to do it in combination with other cities, with Dubai, for example. We want to be able to do that with other cities, with universities, with companies. And I think that this can be done. And of course, you please also come to visit Barcelona, because I always say Barcelona is not only trying to be a tourist city or a sports city, but if you come to Barcelona, you will see what culture is, the culture of a country that is open to the world.
For those who are interested in big data.
Yeah. Okay, so if next possible, I can show you the system, how the route was made by the big data. After doing the big data project, we do another two projects, which is that is that which area is best for the city's PR post.
Right.
Yes, some posts only useful for the orders, and some PR post is only for the women's. So we have the idea which area is popular for the women's and orders, so we could select the best position. And now we are undertaking four other big data projects that include the smart tax matchmaking system that will help the taxi driver to get the passengers, and the citizen help citizen to hire the taxi. So I will show you all the result by this end of the year.
So you've got Barcelona for big, you've got big data in Seoul. Mr. Mayor, Deputy Mayor, what are you going to offer them when they come to London?
Well, I think most Emiratis come to London on a fairly regular basis, so they know London well, and they are familiar with the city and what is taking place within the city. I think what we can do between London and Dubai is exchange information and ways of working, and that is something I think we can do. I think we all have access to this data. We will all use it in different ways. And I think in many ways it is easy for us just to talk, work out ways of trying to improve and plan our cities for the future so that our cities become better and give a greater quality of life to our citizens. And after all, that's what we're all about.
And what we're about is saying thank you very much.